Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Evangelist. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm just blessed. So, Lord, thank the Lord for you coming on, finding a time to say a little something about the goodness of the Lord and to inspire those listening.
Yes, yes. Thank you for the opportunity to be on your broadcast.
Well, I assure you, my listeners will feel that it is their privilege when this show has concluded, because you have quite a powerful testimony. And I always just like to get right into the interview with my guest, because we do have limited time. Now, I understand you attended school to learn Hebrew. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I did.
Well, could you share with our listening audience your nickname, and specifically, what does it mean in Hebrew?
Okay, I attended Kent State University last year to study Hebrew, and within the class, my professor gave everyone a Hebrew name. And I had three names that translated from the Hebrew text to the English text through their vowels, and it came out to be, one of the names was Nava. My Hebrew name is Nava, and I go by that as a nickname. Nava actually means beautiful. And it's funny that I received the name Nava, which means beautiful in Hebrew, because as a child growing up, I didn't believe I was beautiful. And so I'm honored to have that name, Nava.
Amen, amen. And that is spelled N-A-V-A, correct?
That's correct.
Yes, my mother always taught me, say, make sure you get people's names spelled correctly. I tell you what, to my guests listening, if you've never met Ms. Shaw in person, Beverly Shaw, or seen her photograph, she is a beautiful, not just beautiful on the inside, but beautiful on the outside as well. And I, too, can attest to being, you know, treated as though I was this ugly child, and, you know, I was even called names. And I thought for so many years that I was very unattractive. And it took for my mother to send me to a little, when I was young, to Charming Etiquette and Modeling School. So when I went there, it really helped me a lot with, you know, pumping up to realize you're not ugly, you know. And besides, my mother always said, besides, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Yes.
So you're blessed, sweetheart. You're blessed to the Lord, and I'm just so thankful again that you found the time to come on. Now, let me ask you this, Ms. Shaw. Now, you have also done a lot of mission work as an ordained minister, and you have a vision to start a Christian discipleship school, as I mentioned in the introduction. How did you get that vision? You know, where did this come about? And I know that it came from the Lord, but what was that like for God to put that down in your spirit?
Yes, because I've been going through life trying to find my purpose and praying and asking the Lord, what's my purpose, what's my calling, Lord? And the Lord recently showed me that my purpose and my calling, all this time I've been searching for my purpose and calling, the Lord has shown me that my purpose and calling is to show others their purpose and calling. So the Lord sent me down to a place called Laredo, Texas. I'm not sure if everyone heard of it, because before I went there, I did not hear of Laredo, Texas. But when I got there, the Lord showed me to start this discipleship school. And it's to show people to walk into their calling. They're calling from the Lord to help people,
amen,
to train people, to raise people up for Christ. And so that those people can go out and show other people. Because I went through life searching and searching and searching, Lord, what shall I do? What shall I do? So I'm grateful that the Lord has shown me to open a discipleship school to show other people their calling, so that they won't have to go through what I went through.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And, you know, that is so true. You know, oftentimes we're asking, you know, Lord, what is my purpose in life? But, you know, it never centers around us, but it is always going to be something an assignment he gives us to reach out and expand his kingdom by reaching others through whatever gift he has given to you. And so that brings me to my next question, which is, You've written a book entitled Walking Wounded, My Testimony. And what was your inspiration or hope for writing this book? And when did you realize that God had anointed you with this gift of writing?
As a child growing up, I would write all the time, but I didn't understand where the gift came from. I just thought all the kids do this. And so as I became a teenager, I started writing poems, poetry. And at the age of 17, I began to understand, okay, maybe this is a gift. But at that time, for years, I only wrote poetry. The Lord actually told me everything that I've been writing, pull it together into a book just a few years ago. Not too long ago, around 2011, 2012, he showed me that this is a gift that I have given you. I've given you these writings to pour together. So I've been writing all these years, but the first book actually came where I poured everything together for years, and I put it into this book. And I thank the Lord for it. I was inspired by the Holy Spirit, by God.
You know what? And I tell you what, for those listening, it's amazing. I have so many guests on that are writers, and my last guest is someone with the gift of the scribe, and she was just saying how that who are writers, we have a scribal gift, an anointing upon our lives. And so I'm listening to you, and I chuckled because in 2003, a prophetess prophesied that I would write a book. She first asked, you know, are you writing a book? And I'm like, no. I'm wondering, where is that coming from? And so she said, well, have you, like, thought about writing or something? And as it turns out, I was able to draw back on my high school memory that a high school teacher told me I was a writer because of my writing skills. And at that time, that was nowhere in my future, okay? And so when you were talking, I thought about that. And a prophetess said, I just had a vision of you. You wrote a book, and it became a bestseller. And so this is what happened. And my book ended up becoming a bestseller because it took me a number of years to get started on it. But it's amazing how God works. But I would like for you, like many people out there wonder why their lives seem so hard. And although sometimes they've been praying, yet the storms in our lives might show no end in sight. And I know because I've gone through it. What would you say to encourage that individual listening?
I would say to them to hold on, be encouraged. Jesus said he has overcome the world. There's going to be tribulation in the world. When I be in the middle of my storm, the Lord showed me a metaphor. I don't know if anyone that's listening has drove through from South Carolina to Ohio. There's two bridges. The Lord showed me a metaphor of driving through these bridges. When you first go to the bridge, behind you is dim. And as you're driving, you have to stay in your lane. You can't cross lanes in this bridge. It goes through tunnels. As you're driving and you're looking behind you, it gets dimmer, it gets dimmer. In front of you, it's still dark. You become afraid. You can't hear anything, nothing around you. Everything's quiet, silent. As you are standing, as you're driving in this, inside the tunnel, you're in the middle, you're looking behind you, you want to go back because ahead of you is still dark. But as you're driving forward, behind you gets dark, so you get nervous, you're in the middle. You can't hear God's voice, but he is still there. As you keep going, the sunshine always seems to shine at the end of the tunnel. When you go through this tunnel, the sun always seems to shine when you're going through. You start to see the sun, the light shining through. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Says,
come on.
You can do it. You can do it. Come through. So when you're in your middle, you keep walking. You keep pushing. Jesus is there with you. Storms are there to give us experiences, to mold us into who God wants us to be. And so that's what I would say. I would encourage you to keep pushing. God is with you. You can't hear him at the moment because you're in the middle. You're in the dark spot. But as soon as you keep going, you will see the light. Keep going forward. Don't look at your past. Don't look behind you. Keep going.
Amen.
I encourage you today. Yes, Lord.
Oh, amen. Yes. Oh, my Lord. Praise the Lord. What a powerful word. This is such a powerful word and such a powerful testimony that you have. I tell you, I could feel the spirit of the living God as you or giving that, telling people those encouraging words, I could feel that deep down in my spirit, because I too have gone through the trials and at the times when it seems so dark. But you've got to just press through to the other side, and trust God. That's where your faith comes in at. And believing when you don't hear a word, it seems like God is not even hearing you. But I want to tell you this. I have a daughter that I had been praying for that had not contacted me in over almost 4 years. But I continued to pray for 4 years, the past 4 years. I continued to lift her up, because the last time I had seen her, she rejected me. But I tell you what, God is able. You cannot look at what's behind. You must look forward. You must press forward, as Paul said. Because I saw in my spirit, I just kept seeing in my spirit, she's going to walk, she's going to show up in the driveway one day, and not only her, but with my grandson. And do you know, on my birthday, July 9th of this year, just last month, Evan seemed like she was never going to contact me, but I continued my work in the Lord and focused on Jesus. And on my birthday, my daughter drove up in the yard with my grandson. Oh, I just thank and praise God. And I say that testimony to attest to what you are telling people. You are going to go through trials, and you're going to be tried like fire. You're going to be tried and tested. But if you do what minister, and I'm calling her Minister Shaw, because when you minister to people and you give a word, that is a minister. And but as you have been speaking to them, just to let them know, God is willing, able to set them free from bondage. But I just wanted to ask you, now, sometimes people hold on to things. And I was saying, you know, even though my daughter wasn't contacting me, but I still loved her. And, you know, I forgave her for how she was with me, but I loved her. And even though I couldn't understand, but sometimes we don't know what's going on in that person's life, so we have to love through it all. And so can a person's deliverance be hindered by unforgiveness or resentment that are hurts they're holding on from the past?
Yes. And the reason is because in Ecclesiastes 7 and 9, because the Bible says, be not hasty in the spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. When I was going through my trial with what I wrote in my book, my testimony, I went through something for 10 years. I held on to a grudge for 10 years. And during this, almost 10 years, I held on to this grudge, and I had this bitterness, resentment, and anger. And within me, I had all this anger, and it came out to the outside. So it showed, it appeared on my face. And I was anger.
It will.
I was angry. It pushed me into places that I shouldn't have been. And what happened was, when I got to that place that it pushed me into, I was kept and enslaved there. Because anger, bitterness, and anger is fear. We have to forgive. Jesus actually commands us to love all throughout the New Testament. There's a lot of scriptures where Jesus commands us to love, and he summons us to forgive. He says, forgive 70 times 7. Forgive. And the Lord tells us this, and the reason is because the Father says if we don't forgive, he won't forgive us. And the Bible, the 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. He first loved us. Yes. So, it can keep us in bondage. It can keep us in sin. It can keep us away from our deliverance. I did it for 10 years, and I don't want to... It hurts me. My heart cry out to see people go through that.
Yes.
And so I talk to them, you got to forgive. You got to walk in love. Love is joy. It's joy. God gave us this earth to enjoy. How can you have joy if you hold in bitterness and unforgiveness in your life? So I ask you,
Amen. Well, I tell you what, you've had a powerful testimony to share with us. But I would like for those listening to know where they can purchase your book, Walking Wounded, My Testimony.
They can purchase the book on Amazon.com, and they can type in my name, Beverly Shaw, Walking Wounded. Also through barnesandnoble.com, they can type in also Walker Wendick, Beverly Shaw, and my publisher, who is Zulon Press. They can go on Zulon Press website and type in my name also in the book title.
Well, Beverly, I thank and praise God for you today. And I just want to play a little something, a dedication to you today. And because truly you have reached your divine destiny and are going on further in the Lord, you just stand by and listen in a few more minutes. And God bless you. Have a blessed week, listeners, and have a blessed week, Beverly.
Thank you.
I've got a destination in my view. The road may be bumpy getting there, but I'm pressing through. I will enjoy this journey, no matter come what may. I'll become better and stronger and wiser every day. I've got a vision and a purpose, a divine destiny. It may not look like it right now, but faith ain't what I see. It is the things I hope for, believing that it will come. And no matter how long it takes, I know God's will shall be done. His will is that I prosper. His will. Helping me along the way. He's perfected everything about this old girl, making me brand new in every way. So I'm singing hallelujah. I'm not what I used to be. I believe I'll sing it.